Good evening, everybody. Nice to be back. How many weren't here this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, a few. I'll just catch up a little bit. I was mentioning this morning that we are actually at a strange time and kind of a hard time, actually, in our the reality of our life, where the folks that have had an impact on us, older people, are going home to be with the Lord. And however, in the years that of ministry, we've had the wonderful privilege of spending a lot of time with a lot of people, and I've met a lot of young people that have impacted my life as greatly as some of the older people have. And I just want to mention something to the young people that are here tonight. Let no man despise thy youth. I'll tell you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God is active in your heart. And I'll tell you, He wants to guide and lead and guide you and direct you in the right path. And it's no telling whether or not you're going to meet some old geezer like Bill Meerstra that's going to come along that needs to be reminded about some things and brought back to some simplicity of some things. And I'm glad for some of these young people that I've come across. And I've kept it in my Bible all these years. It's called The Voices of Youth. I've got several pages of them. And every one of them, when I read over it, I distinctly remember the impact that they made. And so we've been talking, spending some sessions today, just going, allowing the youth that I ran into to the message to continue out the truth that they gave me, that they shared with me, to be able to continue to allow that to encourage God's people and give us help. I ran into a fellow by the name of Leo, and I loved the simplicity. He had come out of jail. He had spent time in jail. I don't know what it was about. But somehow or another, through a jail ministry, he placed his trust in Christ. It was a prison ministry, and he came to know the Lord. I met him, and then a few months later, I met him again, and I said, "Hey, Leo, how are you doing?" And he said, "Hey, I've got my problems, but I know who I belong to." I'll tell you what, I love the simplicity of that. I love the healthiness of that. When we think of what the Lord Jesus did to bring us into a relationship with us, it's absolutely incredible, isn't it? Right? You know what's kind of interesting? I didn't mention this morning, but there are all kinds of people that have grown up, young people that have grown up in church, that have left home, and are living out and about. And guess what? They're meeting happy Muslims. They're meeting happy Buddhists. They're meeting happy Hindus. And they are meeting unhappy Christians. I talk to them. I've met many of them. And guess what? It's throwing them. It's throwing them. Because somehow or another, we've been kind of thinking that you, if you're a Buddhist, you can't be happy. And if you are a Hindu, you can't be happy. All these people aren't happy. The only ones that are happy are Christians, and they're not happy either. And why aren't Christians happy? Because the realization of the fact that they are needy is something that is just too troubling. That somehow or another, God would love us just a little bit more if we were just a little bit better. And so we can't really be happy, and so we live in depression, or we live in unhappiness, or miserableness, or anger, or we live in all kinds, and it just isn't working. It just isn't working. It was never our work. Folks, we can, I should have done that, I should be better. We can do that till the cows come home. I know I shouldn't be like that. We can say that for the rest of our lives. You will be saying that for the rest of your life. It's just the way it is. None of us match. All of us struggle. All of us have difficulties. All of us have insecurities. All of us have things that we deal with. All of us have issues. Everyone struggles. And it's not that I shouldn't be like that. The truth is that I am that way, but He loves me. That's what's so amazing about that. I am that way, and He loves me, and He's at work in my heart. I think that is amazing. I love the simplicity. I've got some problems, but I know who I belong to. And the one that I belong to is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who already met my greatest need. And I think, don't you, that he's done enough to keep me happy and rejoicing forever. Don't you? Don't you? Now, let me just get back to the Hindus and the Buddhists just for a sec. If you want inner peace, might I suggest... If you want a measure of inner peace, might I suggest Hinduism? Mm-hmm. If you want a measure of joy, might I suggest Buddhism? It's on the rise and it's really going good. If that's what you want, a bit of inner peace, a bit of joy. I was talking to a Hindu woman on a plane headed to Singapore not too long ago. And it was she said, I get a lot of inner peace from chanting my mantras. I bet she does. You want to get some inner peace? Take a walk in the woods. We have a friend who is now dying of cancer, but how does she get inner peace? By taking a walk in the woods. Can you get a certain amount of inner peace by walking in the woods? Could you? Sure you can. You can get some inner peace by walking in the woods. The problem is that it's a temporary thing and you got to keep walking in the woods. And that's really hard for her now because guess what? She can't walk in the woods anymore. You with me? Sure, you can get some relative happiness, some relative joy, some relative peace. You can, might I suggest, all of these things. I'll tell you what the problem is. If you want a righteousness that will allow you to be accepted by a holy God, guess what? There's only one place you can go. You see, the real need is not inner peace. The real need is not inner joy. The real need is not inner happiness. The real need is I need a righteousness that will permit me to be accepted by a holy God, and I can only find that in Christ. And guess what happens when I place my trust in Christ? Guess what comes with that? It's a package deal. Because with it comes a joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. I don't understand it, but my heart is at peace. I don't get it. But guess what? It's not rooted in me taking a walk in the woods. It's rooted in the fact that God did enough. He did enough to bring a peace to my heart that passeth all understanding. He did enough to keep a smile on my face forever. And the needs, my needs and my struggles should never be the focus of my life. Ever be the focus of my life. That doesn't mean we ignore it. No, we face it squarely and realize the truth. Lord, I am that way. Thank you for your grace and for your love for me. It has never changed. It never wavers. I'm in him and he has loved me with an everlasting love. I'll tell you what, I get discouraged about myself. I get miserable. I get down in my struggles, and that's where the focus comes. All of a sudden, there's a Leo that shows up. And he says, I know I've got some problems, but I know who I belong to. And I think, oh, thank you for letting me run into a Leo. Just when I'm wondering whether or not God could ever forgive me about my past, I run into an 18-year-old by the name of Jake who says, oh, I've got some problems, but I know I'm forgiven. Oh, thank you, Jake, for reminding me that, he has forgiven me all my trespasses. Are you rejoicing in that? Are you rejoicing in that? The fact that you don't have to bear this burden of guilt for the rest of your life. I've met people that have carried that guilt for all of their life, never having really accepted what the Word of God says. He has forgiven all my sins. Not going to live under the umbrella of guilt anymore. Isn't it interesting that we sing this song, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all, and walk away under the umbrella of guilt and despair. Easy to sing? I'll tell you what, it's even easier to let it go and to just simply enjoy the fact that he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Hey, could you turn to Luke chapter 22? I just want to cover something there with you that just has thrilled my heart. Luke chapter 22. Oh, this is so familiar to us. It tells us in verse 41 that the Lord Jesus walked about a stone's throw and he knelt down and he prayed. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Incidentally, just before this happened, what were the disciples doing? They were arguing over who's going to be on the right hand and who's going to be on the left. So this is the kind of guys that the Lord Jesus had chosen as his disciples. And they're just not getting it. And here they are on the last evening arguing over who's going to be on the right hand and who's going to be on the left. And it tells us there that the Lord Jesus doesn't berate them. He doesn't say, "Oh, for heaven's sakes, will you cut this out?" You know what he says? He says, "Listen." He says, "Those that want to be the greatest need to be the least." And he says, "I am among you as a servant." That's what he says. "I am among you as a servant." He took the servant's position. They sang a hymn. They went across the Kidron Valley, across the brook, and into the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says about a stone's throw, he knelt down and he prayed. And he said, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine." And then it says this. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. I don't know. Do you have a list of people you want to see when you get to heaven? Do you have a list? Do you ever think of that? Do you have a list? This angel is on my list. I want to meet up with this angel. Sometime in the eons of time, that's the only way we can say it, and the eons of time, somewhere, I want to meet up with this angel here. What did he say? What did he tell him? What did this angel tell the Lord Jesus? What was the message? Was the message, keep going? This is for this reason, the Lord Jesus says, came I into the world. Was the angel reminding him of that? That this was before the foundations of the earth. This was the plan. And now it's coming to its unbelievable climax here. It's coming to this incredible... Here it is. We're now at the very gates. We're at the mouth of the furnace. We're at the mouth of the furnace. I want to ask this angel, what did you tell him? Like, what happened? What happened there? What was going on in heaven? This is the Son of God. That is now at this time and place in history, at this very moment, what was happening up there? I want to ask the heavenly host, what was happening? They must have known that something was happening. They must have. The most incredible event in world history, and they must have known something about what was going on. What was going on in the Father's heart? I have discovered that as a parent, when my kids are struggling, I'm struggling. Have you discovered that? When they're going through hard times, I'm going through hard times. It's just that simple. For you young people that are here, just so you know, you're struggling, your parents are struggling. It's true. I'll tell you what, when our kids are in problems and in difficulties, there's nothing that we wouldn't do as parents to somehow change it, to somehow lift them out of it. There's nothing we wouldn't do to somehow just do something to somehow relieve the pressure. When we got that word last Sunday that our or last Saturday morning that our little granddaughter was possibly dying. I'll tell you what, there's no question that we want to do as much as we can to ease that burden, to help somehow in that burden, to share the grief if it would have come to that, that somehow, like, I'll tell you what, nothing. A team of wild horses couldn't have kept us from it. Are you with me? Because that's the way we feel. Here's the Son of God. that is now in the agony of soul here. And I don't know if this is what happened. I don't know. But let me just read something to you from Daniel. Like, listen to this. In verse 20, it says, of chapter 9. Listen to this. I think this is amazing. He says, Daniel says, I went on praying and confessing the sin, my sin and the sins of my people, pleading with the Lord God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. And as I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in an earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he explained to me, this is now the word from the angel Gabriel. Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. The moment you started praying, a command was given, and I'm here to give you some insight. Daniel started praying. God said, Gabriel, down, right there. This is what I want you to tell. And Gabriel came swiftly at the time that God told him, because they're God's messengers. Folks, I don't know. But I kind of wonder whether or not the heart of God, my loving Heavenly Father, seeing the Son in such agony of heart, you wonder whether or not the Father says, strengthen him. Down, strengthen him. I don't know. Because I'm telling you, that's it from the Father. Nothing else from the Father. The angel strengthened him. And that was it. We know the story, don't we? Let me just pick up the story here. Verse 63 says this. Now the guards in charge of Jesus began mocking. The guards began mocking. Let me ask you something. For those of us here that are fathers, how much mocking would you permit your son to go through before you'd step in and do something? How much would you allow? Someone is mocking your son. Dan, someone's mocking your son. Ryan, they're talking against Ryan. They're mocking him. How long would it take you to step in and stop that? Not very long, would it be? How long would it take? How long would you handle it? I'll tell you what. I wouldn't handle it for a split second. I would step in and say, enough is enough. No way, no way. I'd stand between the two of them. Wouldn't you? Well, wouldn't you? Nelson, wouldn't you do that for any one of your sons? Would you want to mess with Nelson? Guess what? Nothing from heaven. Absolutely nothing from heaven. How far will God go? How far will He go to bring us into a relationship with Himself? I'll tell you what, there's nothing from heaven. The mocking continued and they started beating Him. How much beating would you allow your son to go through? How many times would the lash come down on your son? Merv, how many lashes would it be before you step in and save Rob from that? Like, how long would it take you? Anyone want to mess with Merv? You want to start beating his son? You're going to see Merv in a different light than you've ever seen him ever before. You know why? Because that gets our dander up real fast, and we're going to step in and do something. You know, it's very possible that someone would hold Merv back so that he could see his son being beaten. This is a terrible scenario, but that's quite possible. What if you were all powerful? What if there was nothing to stop you at all? I'll tell you what, I mentioned as a team of wild horses keeping me from my son. I'll tell you what if I'm restrained because I am restrainable? But what if I am all powerful? How much beating, how far will God go to bring us into a relationship with Himself? Nothing stopped the beating, nothing from heaven. The mocking and the beating continued, and they blindfolded him. How long would you permit the blindfold to stay on your son? And they hit him, and they asked him, "Who hit you that time, you prophet?" And they threw all sorts of terrible insults against him. And I'm telling you, folks, heaven is silent. We sing the song, "Alone, yes, all alone, the Savior died for me." How far would he go? For someone that's never heard this story before, you would wonder what kind of a father would not step in and save his son. Wouldn't you? If you've never heard this before, you would say, what kind of a father is this? And you'd have to come up with either two conclusions. Actually, this is a horrifically horrible father not to step in and do something to preserve the son. Or, number two, there's got to be a really good reason why he didn't step in. There has got to be an unbelievable reason why he didn't step in. In fact, it's got to be a stupendous reason, an unimaginable reason. And guess what we find out? We find out that the reason is me. The reason is you. For the joy that was set before him, how far would God go to bring us into a relationship with himself? How far would the Lord Jesus go? It tells us that he loved us to the greatest extent. He loved us to the end. And then we look at the reason being us and we realize that we are hopelessly lost sinners, enemies of God. And that's who he wants to bring into his house of wine, a poor, vile sinner brought into his house of wine. And now he's done all of that, and we're going to live miserable lives because we're unhappy with ourselves. Are you with me? Well, if you want to be unhappy with yourselves, this sounds awfully uncharitable, you just be unhappy with yourself forever. Until God takes you home, because you're going to be continually disappointed with yourself. You may as well brace yourself with that reality for you young people here. If you're not discouraged with yourself yet, just give it a little bit more time. It won't take that much longer. And you'll begin to realize, for you young people that are here, that if you want to look at yourself, you'll be continually discouraged. I thank God for a Leo that says, "I've got my problems, but I know who I belong to." The one that gave his all, that was willing to not step in and stop this thing. I have a picture in my mind, and I want to find out when I get to heaven whether or not it's right. But I'm wondering, dark was the night, but heaven was darker still. O Christ my God, is this the Father's will? I wonder if it was a father that was sobbing. That's what I wonder. I wonder if it was a father that was sobbing. I want to find out from the angels, what did you see? Why are the angels who have always existed still passionately looking into the wonders of the gospel? That's what Peter wrote. That's what he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, that the angels are... They're longing. The word longing is literally the word lust. They are passionately, intently still looking into this, trying to understand this gospel message. I'll tell you what, they must have experienced something. They must have seen something. And they continue to see it in the lives of people all over this world whose lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinner, and I'm a sinner, and he saved me. I've got some problems, but I know who I belong to. I belong to the one that gave his all for me. And he's done enough, hasn't he? He's done enough. And so it's not living my life with, "I know I shouldn't be like that. I know I should do better." It's, "No, I am that way, but he loves me. He loved me when I was his enemy. If he gave himself for me, how shall he not freely give us all things?" Does this stuff excite you? Has he done enough to lift our eyes off of ourselves? And into the joy of, oh my goodness, Lord, this is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's where we gaze, isn't it? That's where we spend our time. rather than in the discouragement of self. Are you miserable? Spurgeon said, "Know thyself and you'll be most miserable." Thankfully, he completed the statement by saying, "But know thy God and there'll be joy unspeakable, full of glory." That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about our God, who is absolutely amazing. Hey, I was speaking at a conference, actually a couple, been there a couple of times and met this young man a couple of times over in Norway. And his name was Philip, just a young guy, and let me see, 15 years old, young kid Philip, really nice guy, looks very Norwegian. In fact, if you were to see him, he could only be from Norway. That's just that look that he had. And after one of the sessions, I got talking to him, and he got actually quite emotional about it, and he told me this story. He said that he was saving up for a belt. This was not just any old belt. This was a happening belt. This was a current belt. Do you understand? This is a belt that everyone wants to have, right? If you're a kid that's 15, you want this kind of a belt. Are you with me? Right? This is how important this belt was, and he saved up enough money to get this belt. He finally saw the day when he walked into the store. It was an expensive belt, and he bought the belt, and he put it on, and he wore it with real pride that he actually had this belt. You with me? He's walking down the street of Bergen, the town of Bergen, and he's held up by some guys that saw the belt. Now, I said it was a happening belt, right? It was a now current, now belt. And they wanted the belt. So they held him up. And guess what they did? They took his belt. They stole his belt from him. You with me? Okay. From the time that they stole the belt, he told me, he said, "I was absolutely consumed with hatred towards them. I was so upset." He said, my every waking moment was consumed by the fact that I had been violated in that kind of a way, that they had stolen my belt. And he said, "I was completely consumed by the fact that I'd lost my belt." God had been at work in his heart. And he said, "Bill, it's just a belt. It's just a belt. It might not be a belt for you, but what is it? Do we actually think, that with all the things that make us different, there's male, female here. There's age differences here. There's background differences here. I know a bunch of Dutch people that are here that were raised in that kind of an environment. And then there's churched people here and unchurched people here. And you've got, do we want to stir personalities into the pot? Like, do we have to even go there? Yeah, we do. Because we all have different personalities, right? And different strengths and different weaknesses. We're all at different levels of maturity. Are you with me? All the things that make us different, right? All the things that make us different. Do you actually think, would any of us actually think that we're going to get through life without ever being hurt or ever being disappointed by somebody? Huh? Would we actually believe that we're going to get through life without ever having to be hurt or without ever being disappointed or without ever being slighted? Would we actually think that we're going to get through life without ever having to forgive somebody or forbear with somebody? Do we actually think that? You with me? Isn't that ludicrous? Isn't that absolutely ludicrous? Here's a young man, Philip, that came to the realization that it's just a belt. It's just a belt. we had the responsibility of moving my parents into a care facility this past year. My mother had a stroke. She's 83. My dad is 93. And they live in a care facility. And so all that's involved in that, where you move from a home into a 12 by 12 room with a little bit of stuff that, a little bit of the things that you collected over your life. They were missionaries in the Philippines with New Tribes, and so they didn't collect a lot of things, thankfully. But we did have to move them and sell their house and get rid of all the things. And in the process of all of that, my mother said to me, she said, you know, she said, I'm so glad that there wasn't trouble in the family over... Sometimes when that happens, there's so much trouble in the family because of this one wanting this thing and that one wanting that thing, and she walked away with that thing, and I wanted that thing, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are you with me? And then she told me this. She said, I had an aunt in Holland that went to her grave in bitterness against a sister-in-law that got a little copper cup and saucer that should have gone to her side of the family rather than to the other side of the family. It was a cup and saucer. And I'm going to be mad about it all my life. Is it possible that that can happen? It's possible. It's possible. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Philip, for at 15 years old coming to the wonderful realization that it is just a belt. You know what he said to me? He said, Bill, I'm here to tell you, never once until today, as we spent these sessions together there in Norway, never once did it ever come to my mind to even pray for the guys that took my belt. Never once did I look beyond the belt. In the fact that maybe God was wanting to do something in my life, maybe God would want to have something done in the life of those guys there. Lord, could you bring someone across the path of those guys that would be able to live the life of Christ out before them and maybe have the chance to even share the gospel with them? Could you use it somehow in their lives in some way? He said, never did that ever come to my mind. He said, here I'm consumed with a little piece of fancy leather. And it has occupied my mind and driven me to hatred towards these people that took it from me. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Philip, as a 15-year-old to coming for early in life, coming to the realization of that. Because is he done with it? Is he done with that? Oh, I'll tell you what, he'll have to make decisions in life as he moves ahead too, isn't he? In regards to what really matters here. What really matters. In Colossians chapter 3, do you want to turn there? Colossians chapter 3. We have some instruction there that we're real familiar with. And again, amazing truth here for us. Paul says this, Colossians 3:1, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about the things down here on earth. There's a tribe that we work with in the country of Venezuela called the Pume. And you know something? Whenever you have a translation work that goes on, you have to take it from English that we know and take it from the original language, the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic, from those languages into English. And now we're going to translate that into the Pume language. And then once you get it into the Pume language, then you translate it back again into English. And the translation back into English in regards to this, these verses here is this. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Let heaven fill your thoughts. It's let the forever things fill your thoughts. The forever things. We talked about it this morning. Don't be thinking only about the not forever things down here. I just love those words. Because I can be occupied every day with the not forever things. I can be angry and bitter for something for the rest of my life over something that's not forever. It's a belt. It's a cup and saucer. I don't know what it might be, guys, in your life. But we can all go there. We can all be there. And I'll tell you what. Usually it's not forever things. And Paul says, listen. If you're raised with Christ, then let your mind start going to the forever things. Let it be occupied day by day with the forever things. Now that's a challenge to us, isn't it? Because we're surrounded and we live and we are dependent upon the not forever things. And so that's why it easily can consume us. But I'm glad for a 15-year-old by the name of Philip who was able to to come to the realization at 15 that it was just a belt. It's not a forever thing. The guys that stole it, they're forever. God, somehow or another, could you even use the stealing of the belt? Somehow you could get some glory out of this. It's just a belt. Maybe you can get some glory out of this. Are you with me? Thank you, Philip. So glad I ran into him. We had a guy that came into the training a number of years ago now, and he was with us for about 6 months, and then he came to me one day, and he said, Bill, he said, I'm really not doing that well. He said, there's something wrong physically. There's something wrong, and I'm not sure what's happening. I said to him, I said, John, you better, at 23 years old, I said, you better get this thing checked out. So he did, and come to find out he had cancer of the bowel, and so he stepped out of the training and he got he had surgery done. And they took out a certain amount of bowel, but they noticed that the cancer had already spread to the liver and that was inoperative. And so now he's 23 years old and he's living with terminal cancer. And over that year, he lived another year after that. And over that time, I would see him occasionally. And I remember not long before he died, he called me up and he said, Bill, he said, I don't have much longer to go, Bill. He said, can I come over help me to plan the funeral? He said, I would really like it if you could help me plan the funeral. I'd never done that just quite like that. I've planned funerals, but it was after the person was gone, and I had read what the person had written about their funeral, but I'd never been with someone that was dying, and we were planning the funeral together. And so I said, are you able to come? Because I could come to you. He said, no, I'd really like to get out, and he said, I'll drive over. He said, I'm just warning you. He said, and you haven't seen me for a few weeks. He said, I'm pretty scary looking. And I told him, I said, John, just come. That don't matter a bit. And so he came, and guess what? He was scary looking. He was. And the ravages of cancer had made its way through his being. We sat down on the couch, and he started talking about some of the songs that meant a lot to him and why they meant a lot to him. And it was really, it's one of those things that I look back on now, and I'm just so glad that I had the opportunity of being with him planning his funeral like that. And it was just such a great time together. In the midst of all of that, at one point, he turned to me and he said, Bill, I want to tell you something. A 23-year-old man, now 24 years old, just before he died, he said this to me. I may have told you this before, but I've never been the same since. He said, I just want you to know that I'm not disappointed in God's management of my life. Did you catch that? I'm not disappointed in God's management of my life. I looked at him and I said to him, I said, you know something, John, I got to tell you something. I got to be honest with you. I said, I spent a lot of years really disappointed in God's management of my life. And I said, here you are at 24 with cancer, going to heaven with appreciation for God's management of his life. I'll never forget that. Let me ask you something. Do you think you're going to get through life? Do you think any of us would ever get through life without going through some difficult times? It doesn't say if you pass through the waters, it's when you pass through the waters. It's not if. He says, I'll be with you when you pass through the waters. It's not, no, I'll be with you if you pass. No, it's when. You will pass through the waters. You will pass through the fire. You will. You're not going to get through life without going through some difficulties and through hard times. And it's just the way it is. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Isn't that what the scripture says? So in the troubles and in the difficulties, it'll either make us bitter or it'll make us better. Is that true? It really will. Listen, can you imagine walking up to God? You have just entered into the splendors of heaven. You are marching up to the throne and you wave your finger at God and say, I am terribly disappointed in the management of, in your management of my life. Can you even imagine that? You have just stepped into the splendors of heaven. When that's not where I should have been at all, if it wasn't for his grace. And I'm going to now wave my fist and say, you really blew it. I am really mad and I'm glad to finally stand here in front of you and tell you face to face that I am terribly disappointed in what you've done with my life. Can you even imagine that? I'll tell you what, if we can't imagine it there, we don't have to live like that now. In fact, it would be so wrong to live like that now, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? I'll tell you what. The Lord Jesus that gave his all to bring me into a relationship with himself. Is there going to be stuff that happens in our lives that we don't understand? Sure. Is there a whole lot of stuff that happens that you look back on? And I'll tell you what, there's things that I wonder about. Why things happened the way that they did. Why some of the stuff happened in my life the way that it did, I wonder about it. I used to be mad about it, terribly upset about it. I can tell you that it's not the place to be, and it's not the life you want to live. You really don't. And that's why it impacted me so much to hear it from a 24-year-old that went home a week later. I'm not disappointed in God's management of my life. I'm not sure where you're at with that. I'm not sure where your mind and where your heart is. But I'll tell you what, he's done enough to allow us to live in freedom and in joy and leave our lives on an open hand, knowing that a faithful God, a faithful Creator, will be glorified through this somehow. And I think that's amazing. That was a paradigm shift. A complete model shift in my mind. I am so glad for a John at 24 that shared that with me back then. I've never forgotten it because there have been many things that have happened since then that have absolutely baffled me, absolutely wondered how in the world, why in the world would that ever happen? These past 10 years have been the most difficult years of our life. And they have been just really hard stuff, hard things that have happened. And you know something? You go through them too. We all do. And it's agony of heart sometimes. You wonder whether or not you're going to get out of it. But you got to leave it on an open hand. You really do. You got to leave it on an open hand. And realize that God's at work somehow. And somehow, he can get some glory out of this. Because he's worth it. He's absolutely worth it. I've had the chance of sharing what Leo said, what Jake said, what Austin said. That's ice cream. Love that. That's ice cream. What Philip said, just a belt. And what John said, I'm not disappointed in God's management of my life. All of those statements have impacted me and continue to impact me. And they were from the lips of young people. Young people. And that thrills my heart. God's still at work, wanting to bring us into freedom and into the truth and excitement of what it means to be a child of God. And I permit me to just close by reading these incredible words. All honor, listen to what Peter says, all honor to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. It is by his boundless mercy that he's given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with the wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ arose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for us, his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. I'll tell you what, we experience joy today, but it's tempered by the realities of life and the difficulties of life. But then it'll be absolutely free from this body of death, from this world of destruction and death. It'll be free. It'll be free, absolutely free of all of that. And it really, truly then will be joy unspeakable, full of glory. In the meantime, may God help us to keep some priorities right in regards to what real ice cream looks like, right? That it's just a belt. That, hey, in life, things are going to go bad. Sometimes they do. Not bad, hard. Let's use the word hard. That sometimes things are hard and difficult. But God's at work in us and through us for his glory. May God encourage us and help us in the days ahead here, as long as he's given us to live, to continue to glorify him with right attitudes and right motives and objectives of life. Hey, let's be taken up with the forever stuff. Let's pray. Hey, thanks, Lord, for having a chance to have a couple sessions together here today. And thank you for the things that we were able, Father, to share. Lord, you know how we, every one of us in different ways, struggle with different things that we touched on here. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to keep all of that in some perspective, Lord, that it doesn't rob us of the joy of being a child of God. And so, Father, we ask for your encouragement and help in the days ahead here. Thank you. You're totally, Father, that you totally love us, that your opinion of us has never changed and never will. We're yours and we're your special possession forever. And may these be the thoughts, Lord, that occupy our minds and heart and drive us onward from day to day. So thanks, Father. In our Savior's name, amen. Thank you for letting me have the chance to come again. It's wonderful to be in your midst. I was telling someone today that it's always a little bit like old home week when I come because it's been a lot of years and I know virtually everyone, and that's and have seen you grow and your families grow. Boy, have I seen your families grow. I'm seeing your families have grown, I should say. And it's wonderful to see the fellowship continue here. The Lord bless you. Keep you going. Thanks.